Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Delve. My name is Nathan.
And I, as always, am Alex.
Well, for one more episode.
Well.
I don't know what you turn into.
I have always been Alex.
And you will continue to be Alex, but not Alex of Delve. You'll have to be Alex of something else.
Elf of Lockshear?
Yes. Of Loxley.
That one. Thanks.
Yeah. That one. You're going to be Alex of Loxley. That's perfectly fine. Do you wear tights? Probably. Not when you're at the computer. Anyway, yeah, exactly. You wouldn't want to be constrained that way. Okay, so we have arrived, finally, at the very last episode of Delve.
The ultimate episode of Delve.
The ultimate episode. It has all culminated to this moment. Right here.
The showdown.
And don't worry, folks, we will definitely disappoint. So, on this episode, we're going to do a few fun things. Finally, after this long, we're finally going to do something fun.
Finally, good. I've been waiting this whole time.
You've been waiting so many years for us to finally do something fun on this show. Congratulations.
The day has come.
And then we close the doors. So that's how this works. This is the last opportunity that we are going to have to ask this question. So I'm going to take it. We talk about mechanics and design on the show quite a bit. But the one thing we have not discussed the design of is Delve itself.
Oh, there's no design there.
So the question I have is, can we actually explain what the mechanics of the show are? Can we actually break it down and explain how this actually worked, if at all?
Did it work?
That's a great question. I think, depending on who you ask, the answers are going to vary greatly. For instance, if you were to ask me and Alex, the answer would be no. But I'm going to say that if you look at the outset of this, the mechanic was that you essentially have the straight man and the wacky man. It's a very Abbott and Costello sort of formula.
The real question there becomes, which one of us was which?
I think the fact that we never really decided is probably the biggest problem.
That was the downfall. We had a straight man and a wacky man, and we both played each part all the time.
When we got to the Who's On First sketch, we both said, what? And then the whole thing went away. Yeah, I think that the general mechanics that we came into it with was the idea that you're going to have somebody who is sort of like how we were talking about with the hero's journey. Is, you know, you have the guy that's going on the hero's journey, and you have somebody who has kind of already been experienced in this, who comes in and said, I'll show you how to get there, and probably to Sesame Street. But wherever you happen to be leading, you were kind of trying to get me there. I don't know if you succeeded or not.
I think the failure along that, if you want to go with the hero's journey as that aspect, the failure there is where I kind of was like, here, you need to go here. Usually that person leaves or dies.
Right.
And I didn't either.
Right.
So right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry too.
If you had cut me out of the show like 4 years ago, you'd be fine.
Yeah. Exactly. If you had fallen down a shaft or something, this would have worked.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been like, oh, I need to avenge my fallen master.
Okay. But, you know, in a lot of ways, usually they keep coming back anyway.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess Obi-Wan did not really go away.
Neither did Gandalf. He went from being Gandalf the Grey to Gandalf the White, you know?
He was on his own hero's journey.
Right. His hero's journey to find a color scheme that worked for him.
Yeah.
Yep. And I don't know if he ever succeeded. I like the one that was, what was the brown wizard? Radagast?
Sure. I don't know.
Had a lot of bird stuff in his hair. Anyway, I think that we're kind of proving that the other mechanic of Delve is to get off on very long tangents.
Or just a bunch of them.
Just basically, it's a bunch of subplots with no actual main plot line.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think so. I think we have effectively broken down how this show worked. Finally! It's taken so long. Yeah. I think we could kind of explain what we were doing here. I don't know if you could say that about every episode, though. A lot of the episodes, we just kind of... Frankly, we were winging it. I'm not going to lie.
There was a lot of rambling and 90% just winging it.
There were a lot of times, like the behind the scenes part of this is there were a lot of times where Alex and I got in and said, okay, we got to do an episode. And then we would sit here and we would think to ourselves, but what will that episode be about?
Yeah, the only time there was really any planning on our behalf was when we had an interview.
Yeah, and that is probably the most actual effort that we had put into the episodes was when we had to coordinate schedules.
That's oh god, schedules.
Oh, that was always the hardest part too. We've talked to people from like every time zone practically. And sometimes multiple time zones in the same interview.
That was always fun when we're like, hey, what time zone are you? And they're like, I'm in Australia. And the other person's like, I'm in Hong Kong. And it's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
And we're like East Coast USA.
Yeah. And it's bedtime for somebody. And it's, you know, somebody's waking up early.
We definitely had someone that was like, they had, like, a 6-hour time difference from each other, and we had, like, a
14-hour
time difference, I think. I don't remember who it was, but I remember that it was like, all right, somebody's going to be awake at some strange time for this.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be hard. I'd say that the majority of the people that we had that were in, like, a foreign country, though, most of them were in England. We had quite a few that were from that, and so I've gotten used to the fact that, like, England is a 5-hour time difference from us. I've just, like, gotten that stuck in my head now.
Oh, yeah, it's really fun when you're talking to people and you just randomly throw it there, like, oh, yeah, Hong Kong, it's like a 9-hour time difference. They're like, how do you know that offhand? It's like, well,
we've talked to a few people. So we know.
How do you know Australia is a 14-hour time difference? I'm like, 13. They don't have daylight savings time.
You forgot about the daylight savings time. You can't forget about that. Yeah, I think that was probably one of the biggest things that we had to kind of learn along the way was that people don't exist in the same time. They have to exist in multiple times, and then you have to coordinate it all. It's annoying.
No, aside from the time zone thing, a lot of the prep work for that was like, all right, we're talking to, you know, X person. It's like, we're talking about this topic or this, like, their game. And it was kind of learning a bit about the game. And I think that was more so on your side.
Yeah.
Where you're like, yeah, I'm going to learn, find out a little bit. You did more of the prep work. Let's be real here.
Right. A lot of interviews, especially the ones that you set up that you had already kind of done research for, people, when they listen back on the catalog, will notice that when you're more talkative in some of those interviews, it's because you were doing the active research because it was projects that you really had a vested interest in, like when we were talking about the white box, for instance.
Yeah.
That's one that you had actually researched quite a bit. And there were some of the larger creators that were on the show where you had kind of like looked back on that catalog a little more in depth to try and get some better context for it, which is, you know, I come from a reporter background, so my normal thought process is that I want to at least kind of go into a bio and just look at what people do. If you're new to doing interviews, probably not a great idea to go in cold. I'm not saying that we haven't done that. There have definitely been a lot of times where pretty much all I knew was, like, who the guest was and what the game name was, and that was...
Oh, there were times you only knew the guest and didn't know the game.
Yeah, I didn't even know the game.
But that one was a surprise because it was about bears.
It was about bears. Yeah. It was, and that was terrific. But there were a lot where I didn't know how to pronounce the name of the game.
Oh, Shizondo?
Yeah. Oh, no. It's pronounced Shizondo. I'm pretty sure I got that right, finally. I finally got that right. There were a lot of times, too, where I would know the general idea of the game, but I would have absolutely no context for what they wanted to do with it.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of have to roll with it as best as you can and try to actively listen.
See, the thing I liked about doing that, and part of the reason I didn't always want to do the research on the games that we're talking about, is because I really enjoyed having the people, like, explain how the game was, like, played and what the game was about, so that I could just be like, alright, well, these are the questions that come to my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas sometimes you read it and you kind of have preconceived notions about what's going on, but going in cold that way, it's like, alright, tell me about your game, and then I can ask questions that I'm thinking ready to tell me. Like, these are the things that come to mind and make me wonder, and I want to know.
Well, there is definitely a style. I think Larry King had a tendency to do this. He proudly talked about how, like, I go in with no notes. I go in with no information. Because the whole interview, I should be a blank slate going in. And then I learn everything that I need to know when the interview is going on. There's definitely a style that goes along with that, and you can do it. It is a bit of an acquired taste. So I think if you're listening to people doing that kind of interview, and it is definitely a skill that you have to pick up if you're not used to interviewing people.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, especially I guess from my end, one of the reasons why I probably didn't research people all that much is because if I'm coming into it from the perspective of being the novice that doesn't know what's going on, it's going to sound a little strange if I somehow know what's going on.
Yeah.
from a context standpoint, you know.
You had to stay in character.
I had to stay, yeah. And I suppose that's probably one of the things with the general formula that ends up being a little bit hard, is that when we started out, I was the I-don't-know-anything guy, and then you would explain to me how mechanics work, and then there's a point where I sort of have to, in a lot of ways, play a character that is that and not be that anymore. Because you inherently learn and grow as the series goes on.
Yeah, I don't think you stayed not knowing about anything to do with games for the full 5 years.
No, and if I were to, sometimes I genuinely didn't know what was going on, and when that happened, that's blissfully terrific, but most of the time, I did kind of have to remind myself, like, right, I'm not supposed to really know much of what's happening here, so I'm gonna have to just kind of get back into that mental state so that I can ask fresh questions. But yeah, after 6 years, that gets kind of tricky. so then you have to start asking questions that are more in-depth or are more complex, which is a little bit trickier because sometimes the people that you're asking don't necessarily know the answers to those complex questions. And then you're in a quandary of what you're supposed to do next. It's the kind of the fatal flaw that we set up a formula that's really good until it can't actually work anymore.
I think, thinking back on it now, if you wanted to do that same Dell formula we had at the beginning of... Yeah. A complete novice and someone who kind of knows a bit more, and they're kind of trying to figure things out as they go, you'd have to get a pair of people, I think, who were interested in tabletop games, And that one person who knew nothing would have to never play a tabletop game for the entire duration.
Right. And there was only really so long I could do that before it ended up kind of coming to me. And then once it started to present itself to me, I kind of couldn't turn it down endlessly to play, to run, to get into the actual mechanics. People wanted me to look at different stuff and give opinions on stuff. And I was like, oh, I guess I kind of have to. And I considered that all a learning experience.
Yeah. If you wanted to continue with that format, it would have to be definitely someone who went into it being a complete novice and staying a complete novice. There'd be no growth there.
Yeah.
But it would also, you'd have that air of the, again, the blissful ignorance of being able to ask questions without a air of knowing anything.
Oh, yeah.
Which works for a lot, but... Sure. I think after even after 5 years, 6 years of doing that, that trope would get old.
It becomes a trope.
Yeah, it becomes just, all right, you're a character and you've apparently learned nothing. But it's like, no, you've definitely learned something. You've just never given yourself the opportunity to play a game at that point.
Right.
If that's what you were doing.
Yeah. I think it's the, like, even sitcoms eventually evolve because they realize that the situation that they're in can't last forever.
Yes, it can. They're still at the same coffee shop and Friends.
Yeah, but I mean, their relationships all change. Like, a lot of stuff in Friends change.
Everything but the location and where they are and what they're doing in life changes.
And their catchphrases.
The catchphrases don't ever change, do they?
And their general personalities.
Those stay the same or those change?
No, they stayed the same.
Okay.
Yeah. Joey still wants to know how you doing. After 10 years. Still wants to know how you doing. So
I guess if you wanted to run a podcast like a filter of nostalgia.
Yeah.
That kind of thing would work.
Yeah.
I don't think most people listen to podcasts for the everything's always the same.
Yeah.
I don't think that's...
You wouldn't want to listen to a podcast where every episode was exactly the same as the last episode. I don't know if like a sitcom formula or like those sort of things would work very well as a podcast, just as a general...
I think serial podcasts can work really well. I know Welcome to Night Vale is an episodic...
Oh, you know, sure.
Podcast. It tells stories. It has the same format type.
Mm.
But it tells a different story. Or it tells continuations of stories.
Sure.
And then
it
loops back around and tells stories that they've told before in different ways. But, you know, it still has a familiar format and characters, but the characters still grow.
Right. It's actually kind of... it feels very unrealistic if you don't... have characters grow both in character and out of character. And with podcasts, you don't usually have people playing characters, except for, like, you mentioned, you know, Night Vale. Obviously, you have actors that are playing parts. But as, you know, most podcasts are pretty much people just talking as themselves. Those people have to... get something out of the experience. Like, they have to grow in some way, shape, or form from the information that they have taken in and the conversations that they have had. And if not, it's all completely pointless that they went through that process in the first place.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a fine balance to that. I keep thinking now, like, as we wrap up here, if I were to give advice to people.
Don't do that.
If I was going to give advice to people not on tabletop gaming, we know I'm still not I'm still not very good at that. But if I were to give advice to people on if they wanted to make a podcast sort of like we made Delve, what information would I want to give them? Yeah. What do you got?
we already went down that road. Don't do it.
Just don't do it. Don't do it. I'm gonna give a good piece of advice for people that are putting on any kind of show or doing anything, and really any kind of creative type is going to already know this. But for those of you who are just starting out, understand that whatever you think you're going to make that is going to be super easy to do is about 5 times harder than you currently think it's going to be.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And it is going to also take about 5 times as long.
Or 5 years as long.
It's going to take about 5, 6. We're at 6 years. 6 years as long. Every time you turn around and think to yourself, well, hey, you know what? It's going to be super easy. I'm going to do this and this and this and then coast. No, nope. Sorry. Not going to work. There are thousands of people who thought that, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. It's a long process. It is definitely going to be work. It can occasionally be stressful. The only thing, though, that I would encourage you about would be that when you actually produce something that you are really happy with, it is a really good feeling. You actually do have a wonderful sense of accomplishment. Hey, I did that thing. And it's sort of chasing that. That's
chasing
the reason why.
Dragon.
Just chasing the Dungeons and Dragon of the whole thing. That is the reason why people continue to do creative endeavors. But it's not easy. And anyone who says that it is has lied to you. even things that you might think are the simplest things in the world. Like I'm going to do a 5-minute podcast, and it's going to be about this, this, and this. Okay, well, that's great. But now you have to have the audio equipment set up. You have to know how to do the audio mixing. You have to get the programs necessary. You have to know how to actually get your podcast onto all of the podcast apps. You need to have graphic art work done. Do you need music under your podcast? How is it laid out? You know, there's so much more to it than you think until you do it. And I worry, though, that there's a lot of people that will start that process. They might have a great idea. You might have a really great idea. And you're going to start that process with that really great idea and then get bogged down in all of those other things and stop. Because you think to yourself, oh, no, I didn't know it was going to be that hard. But for those of you who, you know, push through that and get something out there, I will tell you that you will be very happy with the accomplishment that you did get it out there. Not a lot of people can do that. There's thousands and thousands of people that will try, and a lot of them won't want to go through that process. But if you do, you're part of the thousands and thousands that did. The smaller number of people who did. And you should feel very proud of yourself about that. I can't tell you that every episode of Delve was like a diamond.
Oh, no, definitely not.
No. But the fact is, we kept doing it. We kept, you know, pushing through and saying, okay, that might not have worked, but whatever. We got another episode to do. And if we had stopped the moment we had one bad episode,
we would have gone 3 episodes in.
One.
I was giving it the benefit of episode 2.
Okay, so 2. But the thing is that if we, like, the first episode did not go very well at all. It sounded terrible. I think we were literally at an airport when we recorded that, must have been.
Maybe.
Sounded like it. If we had quit after that, we wouldn't have as many episodes as we do today. But then episode 2 happened, and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, and you know, things picked up, and we ended up with great interviews and really, really interesting things, and hopefully a few people got stuff out of it. And that's great. We're always happy when we hear people give us that feedback, you know. And I guess the other thing that I would say is that if you are able to actually get feedback, be very happy you got the feedback. It comes very rarely, but you will appreciate it so much when you get it, especially if it's constructive.
Yes.
How many episodes? I think we did at least a couple episodes where we talked about the importance of feedback.
Yeah, even we definitely did, because even for like playtesting, if any feedback is good feedback for that instance, because negative connotations are good to see what people don't like in a game design. And as long as it's constructive, it's good. Negative isn't always good, because you feel like it's like, oh, well, they didn't like the thing. Sure. I guess I shouldn't do anything like it, but you try to take away from that it's something people don't like, and you can change it into something they do like.
Right. There's definitely a huge difference, too, between the bad feedback of your thing sucks and bad feedback as in this thing didn't really make sense to me, and I don't think that it really worked in the context that you were putting forward. Maybe you should try something different with it. That's the difference between like useless notes and constructive notes in filming, where you might actually have somebody who gives you notes that are actually constructive to the point of what you're trying to make, or somebody else will come up and say, you should just all wear hats.
You should all just wear hats.
Yeah.
Maybe even distressed dad hats.
We'll promote our new merch on the episode. That's great. Coming soon, folks. Coming soon. Actually, you can order now, but we're not going to get into that right now. Hopefully that kind of gives you an insight into kind of like the making of the show, and also what we had learned, and advice if you wanted to make one all of your own. Of course, the real advice is probably don't.
Probably. No, the real advice is if you want to, do it. And then hate the first episode you do it, and then try again.
Honestly, there is a really important thing that you have to understand, no matter what kind of artistic or creative endeavor that you're making. Understand that about the first 10 things that you make are going to suck. It is a rare occasion where the first thing that you want to make out of the gate is going to be great. That is very rare.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of misses before you have a hit. But that's important, because the misses inform what the hit is. So don't feel bad about that. It's in a lot of ways why we try so many different things, and why we don't focus too greatly on like when something doesn't work and say, well, that's the end of everything. Because it means we're just going to try something different and see if that works. And, you know, eventually something does, and it's great. It's great. So, with that being said, Alex, it is the time, finally, to give
the time is nigh
to give final thoughts before the rock slide hits and carries us away.
The final thoughts on
kind of hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Bye. Just end it right there.
Our final thoughts are just goodbye.
Yep, that's the final thoughts. Just bye, and then cut it like with a rock slide right there.
Just cut it. The rock slide comes. It carries us away, and just perfect. Yeah, I don't really know if we have really any final thoughts. I think we've pretty much given them over the last few episodes.
Yeah, that's what this entire wind down has been.
Pretty much. And we do appreciate all of the feedback that we've gotten over those last few episodes. It seems like a lot of our like super fans that are out there really appreciate it. So glad you're liking it. Want to thank all of our patrons that are out there, not just our shiny level patrons, Bonnie Ainsworth and Drunk Paul.
And all the past patrons who may not be donating anymore or absolutely had to stop for whatever reason, but did support us at some point in time. Oh, yeah. We're thankful for that over the years as well.
Yes. Yeah. Because we have had many patrons over the years, and I do want to thank them very much, because even the small amounts that might have been given or for the period of time that you were here, that is very important. It keeps us financed and allows us to continue to do new things, and even the new project that we're going to be working on now, a lot of it is due to the fact that we had some amount of funding to work with to begin with. So, very, very thankful for that. I want to thank all the guests that we had on the show.
Oh, all of them. So many of them.
All of them. Even if you were just coming on to promote a Kickstarter, I understand. You know, you're trying to get your thing out there. But the fact that you wanted to come onto the show and you trusted us with being able to talk about your game is, sometimes it might feel like we complained about how many Kickstarters we talked about, but it is also a real honor to be able to talk to up-and-coming game developers and established ones and get their feedback on what they're doing and the cool things that they're trying to create.
Oh, yeah. I know, and we definitely did complain a few, especially me. It was like, we're talking about Kickstarters a bit too much, games we're not actually playing and have never played, and it's just like, all right. But, like, talking to the people is still always cool.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. And we genuinely did want to be able to promote new creators that needed a signal boost for whatever we could do. It got a little Bernie outy just with the number that we were doing at the time.
Yeah. And I'm sure on the new show we'll do similar. We'll have that once in a while. I know you and I have mentioned to each other that we would like to be able to talk to people and be like, hey, they've got a Kickstarter coming out. If you can and you like the project, go support it. But, right. Like, I feel like it won't be an all-the-time thing. It'll be more so when it's a project we actually like and want to talk about.
Right, right. Chances are a lot of them will probably be us contacting them about certain things that are coming up. And also, I think a lot of them that are coming on, we might be talking about other topics besides just that.
Yeah.
And then we will also make note of the fact that it's going on. And we've also talked about the possibility on the show of making note of a few different Kickstarters that are ongoing that either got funded or had started, maybe at the front, just something real quick, just to let people know about some neat things that are happening. We do want a lot of these game developers to succeed because it's good for the industry. It's also good for the fact that we're in it in some capacity in the media sector. And it's good when you have a lot of new creators that are coming up and providing something interesting and innovative into the sphere. That's just good all around for people. So we want to still encourage that. Additionally, I want to thank all the people that actually worked with us on the site. I want to thank, obviously, Dom, who worked with us for quite a bit. We had a few different people that did articles for us. I want to thank everybody who, contributed to, like, Developers Diaries and all of that. Your contributions are always welcome. It's always great when we have more voices than just the two of ours, because we often get tired of listening to each other pretty much all the time. But thank you all to everyone that helped there. I want to also take the opportunity to thank Matt Soul, who gave us the Flare Rift to use in the show. And, we'll have to figure out music for the new one. But you've heard that at the beginning and end of basically every episode of this of Delve. And we do appreciate his contribution. Also, the people that helped to sponsor the show, like Battle Barnes, when they were on. That was terrific. I definitely appreciate all the cool music that you let me toil around with. Alex, you and I basically are the show, have been the show, but it does feel like without everybody else that has been at least tangentially involved with it, it really wouldn't have been anything.
Oh, definitely. Even though it's like you and I as you said, you and I are the show, but there's a lot more people that have had their hands on it and in it over the years. It may not be in the production or the creation standpoint of it, but between, again, all the people who've helped contributed behind the scenes, who've given us their support, who have given us articles and material and content and interviews and their voices. Though everybody else that's been on the show in some capacity.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the same.
No, it certainly wouldn't. And that's why we are hoping that when we, start up the new thing, when we start up the TPK, there will definitely be more than, well, actually the three of us working on stuff. There will definitely be a lot of contributions to be made. We should also probably, the last thank you that we should probably do is to our community that we built that we usually talk to over on our Discord.
I thought you were going to say the now defunct Mad Adventure Society.
Oh, actually, I should make note of that first. Mad Adventure Society and Fiddleback, we really should thank for getting this show launched and started. And, we probably wouldn't have known exactly what to do in the first place if the folks over at Mad Adventure Society weren't there to help us through that.
And that has been gone for a little while now?
Yes.
Several years, actually. But, still back to our roots, so...
Yes, absolutely. And
we should
good launching pad.
we should see about getting a Mad Adventure Society reunion show.
Oh, on the new one, yeah. On the new one. I bet we can do that. Well, you know, the reunion show seems to be like everywhere right now. Everyone's rebooting everything, so we might as well do a reunion. There's gonna be a Friends reunion.
Maybe we can...
We get to hear Joey say how you doing again. So yes, Mad Adventure Society, you're right. I definitely need to thank them. But I also need to thank all the folks that we have met over on our Discord, because that community that we've built over there is terrific. And we are so happy that it looks like pretty much everybody who is actively participating is also going to be moving over to the new server. Their feedback and the notes that they give us on episodes are terrific. Wait, and I love the fact that it feels like there are people out there who think about and relay information more deeply than we probably even put into the episodes to begin with. That is amazing. I'm still floored by that. So a big thank you to all of them. We will be more than happy to see you on the next show and the big launch coming up. So,
and especially where neither of us are really as active on Twitter so much, I don't think.
Not as much, no.
It's really nice to have just that community space of our own that's a lot more smaller. Then say just shouting out to Twitter and hoping to get people to reply to you.
Sure.
It's just nice to be able to have that environment with people that, you know, kind of listen to you and enjoy what you do.
Sure.
And have feedback for it. And you can just talk about other things too. Just like, you know, it's more a place where it's like, all right, we're kind of all friends here. I would definitely consider some of the people that are there, like people I've grown to become friends with, at least. And it's nice to have that. It's our Discord community is small, but I don't mind that.
No. I mean, it's definitely bigger than when it started. So, but not much. Not much. And we'll see how big the new one is, but.
The new one's a community server, so it's discoverable on Discord.
Gotcha.
But we can also have that call to action, like, hey, if you want to discuss this topic, you can join us on the Discord. And we'll be talking about that, other things, and you can tell us topics you want us to talk about, all that fun stuff. We're going to try to do better at the whole integration thing, call to action thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to try to just do things a bit better on the new show.
Right. We are going to try to take everything that we learned here.
Yeah, things we learned.
Yeah, I don't know if we really learned all that much, but whatever we did learn, we're going to try to translate over to the new show so that we can launch strong and we can be in a little bit more of a finished state when we actually start, rather than trying to kind of like work it out as we go, which is great. And I think the one big thing that we can take away from Delve is that if we had not done Delve, we wouldn't really be able to do Total Pebble Knockdown at all. I mean, we even took the name from a thing on Delve.
So yeah, we're stealing everything from Delve.
We are moving out of the apartment, but we are taking all the furniture.
Yeah, we're taking those curtains.
We're taking the curtains. We're taking the unicorn. We're taking Josiah. We're taking...
Maybe we can leave the unicorn and Josiah behind.
Nope. They're coming. They are coming.
There's going to be a billion callbacks on the new show that no one's going to understand.
No one will understand unless they heard the old show. We're going to have to come up. No, you know what? We're going to have to. This is going to be the hardest thing about the new show. We're going to have to come up with, oh my God, so many new things to reference.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Here, just for everyone listening now, Nathan is also getting this now. This is how we like to do our little not meetings that we have, where we just kind of get together to discuss things for the show.
Yeah.
It's when Nathan or I come to the other and go, so I had this thought about this thing we can do.
Yeah.
So I had this thought about this thing we can do as I was looking at the tabloids at work.
Oh, God.
Where we can come up with a tabloid type deal from the gaming industry.
Oh, beautiful.
That we can just kind of make a whole silly either segment or a whole ass episode that's just silly, where we kind of be like, five easy ways to make bigger fireballs.
Oh, God. So a little less like Weekly World News and a little bit more like Cosmopolitan.
Either or. Cosmo okay. Or Weekly World News would be fine.
You know, if we do Weekly World News, we have to like put a stat block together for Bat Boy.
Bat Boy and you, what are the chances of sublime romance?
Dexterity. Meh. Charisma. High. Charisma.
Exactly.
So that was charisma's through the roof.
So that was just an idea I had, and everyone's getting it now, including Nathan. I thought it would be an interesting and potentially hilariously fun little thing we could do sometimes.
Oh, that sounds good. We gotta do that.
Because I know you, Nathan, love to stretch your creativity.
Oh, I certainly do. I certainly do. I need to get together some stuff so that we can mock that up.
Yeah, do a mock-up news cover. We'll let you do that because we have a graphic designer who does not need to deal with that.
No. Crave doesn't need to have to deal with that.
That's a whole level of bullshit I don't think she'll want.
No. I'm going to have to get a different program for that. Back when I worked at the paper, there was a whole program that you would use to actually lay out the pages and everything. And that would be terrific right now, but I don't have that program.
Oh, well, so, you know.
We thought that probably the best way to actually end the show would be to have all of the voices, or at least most of the voices that have been on the show, give you a little bit of a retrospect. You know, Alex, you occasionally joke about how there's probably a good half hour of good content from the show. I found it, and I compiled it together into a montage.
We've got just a half hour montage of all the good bits of the show. So if you've missed the previous 300 episodes of the show, we've compiled all the good stuff into 1 half hour.
Well, as much as I could.
That's what, 30 without, seconds a show?
No, far less.
3 seconds a show? I'm bad at math.
1800 seconds, right? 1800. Yeah, what, 6 seconds?
It was close.
It must be six. Yeah, it would be 6 seconds a show. That's right.
I expect there to be 6 seconds from every single show in the next half hour.
You're going to be disappointed.
I'm usually disappointed.
There's only so much I could go through. I had to start thinking about like things that I liked in different episodes that I remember.
You could find a half hour worth of things you liked.
I could find a half hour of things I kind of remember liking.
Fair.
So there was that. I figured since this will be the last time we really have the Flare Rift to play us out, I would just let that run, play us out to the sounds of what was Delve.
There you go.
And so, for the very last time, I was Nathan.
And I continue to be Alex.
And this was Delve. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Delve. I am Nathan, and this is
Alex.
And he can finally take a cue. That's good to know.
Three tries later.
First patient coming right through. Now, you might notice that they are having a very serious problem in that they are on fire.
I was going to say, you could have like a sword that hits another sword and then slides down it so you get the
exactly.
scratch of metal on metal.
That's right.
You know, hits the hilt and you hear the shink.
One that's covered in jello. Well, that might not be a very specific
idea. That'd be
interesting.
But... long sword of jello plus two? Yeah
gelatinous.
Exactly. It's delicious.
I was actually saying, when you were talking about the watching movies for sound effects, have you ever thought about just like putting a movie in, muting it, and making a playlist for it to see if the sounds sound like what was going on in the movie?
No, but that's a really good idea. I like it.
If you see a game called Bicycapades show up on the Game Crafter, you should probably just flag that account.
There will be a lot of things that we have to go over before there's a prototype.
There's it depends on what kind of flag should I put on it. Should I mark it VIP?
Mark it for destruction, I think.
Little cartoon lice with little skates on them for the lice-capades.
Oh, Lord.
That's the box art.
The sort of, not rhyme, but the logic that hats go on soldiers go on sheep get abducted onto spaceships, and spaceships can besiege castles, and so castles hat, obviously.
Okay.
I think golf is actually too exciting. My taste.
I used to play golf, but I couldn't get the ball in the clown's mouth anymore, so I just gave it up.
I would like to recreate the Breakfast Club with monsters.
Great. I'm stealing that one as well. Thank
That's
you.
Good one.
Go for it. These most ideas I say are free.
Yeah.
Unless they're like for my own game.
He's a benevolent but very selfish.
I'm like Santa Claus of the ideas.
And Krampus all at the same time.
So you've achieved balance.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's why I have a double Ouroboros tattoo on my right arm. Nope, my left arm. And they're in black and white.
Double Ouroboros?
Yes, Nathan.
It's a miracle. What does it mean? That's a rainbow.
Yeah.
Ouroboros is great. And it was a Pokemon, wasn't it?
No. Nathan, you're fired. It was a world serpent.
I know. I just wanted to say that.
You're fired in so many levels.
You could be building the greatest game known to history, but no one will know about it if you don't tell them.
At what point does it become just boring to have to follow the mechanics? If you're sitting there for an hour at the table, factoring out healing, factoring, okay, we're done with this combat, now let's spend half an hour figuring out different healing things, spells... okay, well now we're going to do that, and we're going to attend to the mechanics of the game for a half hour after this battle.
And funnily enough, a cockatoo has just landed on my balcony.
It just randomly land on your balcony?
In this particular area, sort of live near the mountains, so cockatoos everywhere. And we fed them cake a couple of weeks ago, and they've been coming back every day since then, so...
Australia, the land of wonder.
just to sort of feed into your images of what's...
Thank you. No, thank you. I need to reinforce this image. Now I go to another bar. Your character becomes embroiled in a black market topiary ring. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Go on, I have an idea.
Okay, so I have wandered in through another backroom door that obviously says, keep out, topiary ring. There are, behind there...
So you're telling me, like, choosing your own adventure novel just leads me to the same spot every single time?
Well, I mean, eventually.
Never reading those again.
They still make those?
Probably. They're probably all about Shia LaBeouf.
I would read that. You should put that up on Kickstarter.
Yeah, like my name is Josiah Puffy Pants, and you know what I keep in my puffy pants? Grenades, and I am going to throw them at you right now. Deal with that.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can make, but let's face it. You would never forget Josiah Puffy Pants after that point.
No, you wouldn't.
You were talking about that boar for a while, weren't you?
Yeah.
A while back?
I assume you're going to cut most of that out of the episode.
No, probably not. So the thing about it is, everything that I know right now is that you have a card game. That's it. That's all I know.
If you ever wanted to take on the role of, say, a bear and experience what it's like to... eat food as a bear and go through a hibernation cycle, then this game is for you.
Yay!
All about bears.
We found the game. It feels like you were here not too long ago, and usually people need at least like a year break between times talking to us, but not you. You are a trooper. You came back without hesitation.
It's a slow month. It's a slow month.
Well, you know, that's how we get most of our guests on.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, nobody learns to be a game designer by listening to the melodious sound of my voice.
I can just be whatever I want.
That's the joy of role-playing games.
That is the joy of role-playing games. So see? Suck it, Alex. I was right. You were wrong.
I didn't mean to do that, Alex. I'm sorry.
The thing that I find is most difficult to teach, or that is essentially impossible to address in a workshop situation, is to help someone figure out what it is that they want to do.
I'm not really a businessman. I like to draw and stuff. And when business comes up, my eyes kind of glaze over and I sort of zone out and I'm like, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah, you know? That's me. I like to design stuff and I like to figure stuff out. I don't want to have to deal with the business aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Oh, like I want to make games. I'm maybe interested in doing this as a career. How might I do that? And you choose your own adventure different.
I see.
To crowdfund your game, turn to page 79. Hire a graphic designer, turn to page 114.
And almost exactly correct.
Just from your perspective as an expert, are robots going to take the world? Just want to know. For future reference.
Okay, so I'm going to be very honest with you, and every robot that I've ever made and just like initially turned on has tried to attack me. Well, either me or somebody else. Like, you know, I had this robot that was supposed to pick up cans and help recycle, and what it did was just like it went full throttle at the person next to me and they like tried to attack. And
they didn't teach these robots Asimov's three laws of robotics.
Yeah, like, well, eventually all the robots did what they were supposed to, but there's always like that first one. Like I also did a robotic hand where it just like went for the heart.
Okay. Well, Skynet is interested in this.
Oh God. And Keanu Reeves. Don't disparage Keanu Reeves. Did you not see John Wick? Anyway, John Wick was really good. I like part two too. But that's beside the point. We're talking about Oscar Wilde. We literally the Keanu Reeves of the Victorian era. And getting back to the actual game, which I guess we were talking about at some point.
An hour ago or something.
Yeah.
We're improvising the episode. Don't worry.
That is not the end of every adventurous tale that they want to tell.
No, that's
not the thing they want on the headstone at the end. Killed by Joe, I don't know his last name. He was in a cave of cuddles. Just go with it.
Killed by walking into the world's most obvious trap.
Hope you enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun.
Everybody
on the
roll
show.
New characters.
Everybody roll new characters. You want to go back into the cave of cuddles, loot the body, see if you can pick a fight with Joe again? You enjoy!
And
he was like, yeah, we've got one copy, but I'm saving it for my friend because he's actually going to use it.
Oh.
And I was like, really? Oh. And he was like, I mean, if you really want it. And I was like, it's fine.
Oh my God.
And so I did not get the book. And that's why I don't remember what book it was, because I didn't get it.
Apparently it wasn't that good. You didn't even get to buy it.
I didn't even get to buy it.
I would throw caution to the wind and just hope that people liked my platform, which I'm still going to say is Hot Wing-centric. I still think there's a lot there's a lot worth pursuing in that platform.
Far superior to barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the world. So you're going to gain more titles and trophies. So, you know, if at one point you're going to be Nathan, the savior of rocking chair, the scourge of the three C's type thing, and you'll keep
sounds
getting more
right.
and more titles.
Exactly.
Okay. This sounds more and more like my 5e game. Buy me a pizza once in a while. You know, all the good stuff.
Put pineapples on it.
No, Nathan, stop.
You're oh, wow. Are we going to have this debate?
No. It's fine. Pineapples are a topping. That's all you need to know.
This is a great episode. Thank you all for coming.
That's all I need. I can have a stegosaurus, and I can grow sunflowers off of its back. And that's basically...
kind of adorable.
Basically, that's kind of like a Bulbasaur. I feel like that's kind of in the general... Okay, this is great.
Yeah, it's actually the point of view of the hero, as you don't know that.
Mm.
Because we all need, no matter what story it is, the reason that we all go into these same, we watch these movies that have the neophyte who's having the world explained to them and all that stuff isn't just for the exposition. It's because that gives us somebody to relate to. So you are essentially playing the part of a hero in any story because you are inexperienced in whatever is going on.
Aha, perfect.
Don't let that go to your head, Nathan.
I just did. Too late.
It is the first time I've been on the show.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, but also very true.
Right.
Yeah, that's very good. That's okay, because you're really Delve's dad anyway. So...
I don't think you'd want to admit to that.
I don't. Can I be the godfather instead?
You can be the godfather, as long as if you don't make us an offer we can't refuse, I'm fine with that.
I haven't yet.
I'm going to look in and be like, so we actually had people unsubscribe.
Exactly. We had negative views. I don't.
People unsubscribed while we were recording this episode because they just knew.
People actively put the episode back into the iTunes store.
Yeah. Why don't you say something horrifically offensive? Put it right at the end of the episode so that people hate listen to it.
Oh, pineapple pizza. So
there we go.
Bulbasaur.
So I have not actually played 5e yet.
What?
He hasn't.
It
is the easiest, most. It's so easy.
I know.
It makes life so much easier.
Nothing stopping you from putting your players in a Jell-O world because you think it'd be hilarious.
Oh yeah, there's going to be gummy bears in mine. Oh, I can totally see.
Cannibalistic gummy bears.
There's the cannibalistic gummy bears.
So they eat each other?
Yeah, but because that's delicious. I mean, if everyone was literally made out of gummies, would you not be tempted?
Yeah.
I can't rightfully say I have an answer to that.
Alex would like to neither confirm nor deny that he would eat other people if they were made of gummy bears.
Oh, only if they were made of gummy bears? Yeah. Oh, okay. Totally, yeah. I thought we weren't talking about specifically that.
If you can weaponize a windmill, that's a pretty good power, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's a windmill full of corpses, Nathan.
Oh, it's an undead windmill?
No, it's just
undead windmill.
It's full of corpses. I think that's a
zombie
card.
Windmill, no! If I say the word Shrizando, what do you think of?
Pasta.
Wrong. Well, you are a little bit, but that's okay.
All right.
What do you think of when we say the word pronounced correctly, which is scherzando?
Music.
Ooh. Oh, that's correct.
So this was a me thing. All right, never mind.
No, everyone pronounces it Shrizando. It's totally normal.
I said what I wanted to play as a player character. And you can't technically do it in D&D under the current rule set. And
was
so
it the unicorn?
It was the rainbow unicorn, Alex. I want to play a rainbow unicorn. I don't know everybody...
No, you can. In my game, yes. You can play a gosh darn rainbow unicorn.
Yeah. The Hoof and Horn Detective Agency is open for business, Alex. That's right.
That's so cute.
Yeah. He was. Snowball the Unicorn is a detective. He got tired of how, you know, corrupt the system was and started his own detective agency. I have a whole backstory for this.
I love it. I'm gonna tease that. I mean, I'll figure a way to weave it in because that is genius, and I'll tag you something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think if you sat to play with all four of us, you could probably match the real person with a player based on them.
Yes.
But maybe not like make a direct comparison between one person and their characters.
Maybe except for my wife. who is the inspiration for Lily, and she is very much Lily.
You know what I'm realizing? We still haven't determined what we're calling this.
Delve After Hours.
We're thinking of Delve After Dark, Delve After Hours.
Sounds so dreary if it's after dark, though.
Game of Thrones, the board game, and she loses, and she's angry. And she plays Catan, and she loses, and she's really angry. And then she plays Pandemic, and then everyone loses because it's a cooperative game, and she's super happy because, and they ask why.
Then everyone loses because Matt Leacock made a brutal game.
Basically, yes. And they ask her why are you happy? We just lost, but she says it's not about me winning; it's about you losing.
First and foremost, I think the game's got to be pretty accessible. You got to be able to pull it off the shelf and be able to learn it and teach it without a tremendous amount of overhead. When I'm teaching a game, I always try to get a sense of whether I'm feeling like I need to apologize when I'm teaching rules because they're too long or too convoluted. And if I feel like that, then I know that I have to make a change if I'm trying to do a gateway game.
I got to do Dwarf Fortress.
We're going to see if we can make you do Dwarf Fortress on stream and watch you rage worse than you do when you play golf with your friends.
Or the dating sims that you keep insisting I play.
Those were fantastic. Yeah.
I am not... Claren, you are my Waterloo.
At one point I mentioned, oh, hey, well, what if I've got all these ideas. What happens to the villains after the shopping mall? And the group just went dead quiet and looked at me, and I had this vague feeling that something, I had just said something incredibly wrong. And I was not invited back after that point because I found out later I had suggested playing the game wrong in a way that was not supported by the rules because the rules said you played in the shopping mall.
So how's that group doing?
Absolutely no idea.
The D12s are used mostly because they're the most dwarf-like of all dice.
How are they dwarf-like? Nice.
They're so stout.
Surprised you didn't go like a 300 or something.
That would have way too much swing.
I will say the D12 is definitely a stocky dice.
Let's say I decide that my character, you know, between sessions, did a Rocky style montage where I was just in training, and I come back to the table and I say, "Hey GM, I did the whole, you know, getting strong now thing. I did Eye of the Tiger. Now I'm 4 levels higher and my strength is 25. So just if you could just denote that on your piece of paper there, that would be great." I don't think I'd get away with that, though, would I?
Well, that sounds like the actions of an insane person.
Oh, okay.
So we put it at the front, and I hope that works.
No, it's good, because sometimes, you know, people can get lost when it's a new game, and it's helpful to have some examples, just get them a little started.
And it says at the beginning, like, just to review the topics, and then come back later, as you need them, so.
You'll figure it out, don't worry.
Here you go, yeah.
You joined the police first, and got pushed out, and that's why you're a detective. You can't be part of legitimate law enforcement. Because when you tried, they found out you weren't dirty, and they found a way to get you off the force, and so now you're a private eye. You work for yourself and independent contract.
Yes, yeah, it wasn't my choice. I got they framed me for something, and they said that I couldn't be on there anymore.
Exactly.
Yes.
So maybe now you got to clean up your name, too.
Yeah, I got to clean up my name. Snowball the Rainbow Unicorn will have his name scrubbed clean.
I feel still like a nerdy outsider. Like, I think that's why I liked
being a producer is like, I want to put like the cool people, you know, in a room, whether, you know, you've heard about them or not, and then let them do their thing. Like I'm a facilitator for cool kids at heart.
That's not a bad profession to get into.
Facilitating cool kids?
Yeah.
Sounds like there's money in that.
There's not. I would. What?
I was going to say. Oh, if only.
I was like, I think you're being sarcastic, but let me clarify in case there's any, you know, children who are young and impressionable.
Yeah.
You do not go into games and you do not go into streaming for the money. Now, podcasting, that's where the money's at.
Oh, yeah.
So. Is there's money in this? What?
Oh, are you kidding?
I'm not going to give Todd any more ideas. And I'm almost tempted to say bury Skyrim, but it just, it's going to come back. And I don't need this, that kind of necromancy in my life. So I'm going to say... Right.
Let's bury Just Dance 3, even though I defended Just Dance 2. I'm starting a war between them.
Yes.
Clearly 2 was the superior.
I haven't even played it.
If anyone has any suggestions on like the ultimate Dell episode, feel free to throw it at us.
Definitely the consensus. First one I showed up in.
Definitely.
Hey. What time is it there for you, Seagoat?
3 a.m.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say it's probably 5 hours ahead.
I actually have my players sometimes call me Daddy Master instead.
Daddy Man. Cool.
Daddy Master is just weird enough to really put him on edge.
Yeah.
But then, like, we're all friends and it's just familiar enough that it's a weird, fun joke.
Oh, that's fun. You know what would be even better? If it was Daddy Mancer. It would be like, instead of like a necromancer or a pyromancer, you conjure daddies. That would be the best idea. That's all you do. It would be like Dream Daddy. But you can conjure that yourself.
That's my new character. That's my next character. I'll Daddy Mancer. I'll just summon hot dads to do my do my fighting for me.
I like to be pretty obvious exactly what you're doing when you open the book. Like, space pirates, and we're going to be singing. Aha! So there's my title.
One of the things that's really cool thematically about Cahokia is in the year 1050, Cahokia was just the largest of the villages near the confluence of the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. And then 50 years later, in 1100, it was a city, an honest-to-God real city. And this happened in a single human lifetime.
But see, now I have such an affinity for monks. Because it's like, I start...
Oh, you're one of those.
I'm one of the monks. I like Bulbasaur, and I like monks. That's who I am.
My two least favorite things. So, one of the players...
I often tell my players when we're going into a campaign is, you know, pick a character who might make some bad decisions.
This might get a little intense, you know, be aware, but in horror, you almost need it. The genre requires a certain amount of, you know, we need to get you scared so that your characters will be responding appropriately to the horrible situation that you're in.
Mm-hmm. It's a collaborative event. The character choices that I have in mind, the clan I might choose, the ambitions for that character, the desires, might not be compatible with what the other players at the table want to play or what the story the storyteller wants to share with them. So it's really fair of me to make my character in a vacuum like that. However, because it's such a great question, I'll answer it in a different way.
Okay.
I want to see Jigglypuff like judging the voice. And just like hearing a voice that Jigglypuff doesn't like and pulling the top of the microphone off and just drawing a mustache on whoever's face it is.
Yeah, just leaping up on stage, Jigglypuff! And then you just
start... You do that really well. I'm impressed.
Jigglypuff! Yeah, it's kind of sad. But
no, it's amazing. I love it.
Thank you.
isn't that a really, really pretty silver Githyanki scimitar, Nathan?
Ooh.
It is not cursed. I identified it. He said it's not cursed.
That's a very specific terminology right there. Okay. Not cursed.
It is. It sounds like something I would have written.
You know, fox, wildkin, otters, rabbits, and badgers all described.
But most people are probably going to be the otter.
Yeah, well, the great thing is I hadn't come up with the otter thing. I only had the other three in a playtest, and somebody said, why aren't there otterkin? I said, there are now.
A few times on the show, you had made mention about how you can't copyright game mechanics. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm now suddenly concerned someone tried and won a court case.
So, you're not going to be happy about this.
Oh, dear.
People. So my trick to networking is basically just, you know, if you meet someone that's done something you like, just honestly gush about it, you know? Like, yeah. You know, oh, man, five years ago you did this card that had this style and it had this mechanic, or you wrote this joke or whatever. So that's my first trick, is just, you know, gush honestly about the stuff you like and the work that, you know, other people have done. And trick number two is just, you know, if you're in a situation where you can drink, that always makes it easier.
Oh, yeah.
So, and being the drinking quest guy, yeah, there's, I've got to, you know, sometimes play that up a little bit.
I think that it's about time that I warm up the old pipes, get on that piano, and sing you a happy little holiday song.
Morgan!
Oh, announcement. We are experiencing technical difficulties, I guess you could call them, and homicidal tendencies. Please, stand by.
He called upon an organization known as INSIDE, the internationally known society of individuals of dubious existence.
Wow. Okay. You might have to put that in the chat so I can reference it, because I can't write that fast.
It took me literally a whole day to figure out how to build that acronym.
I love your creative use of known. Hey, Alex, I got the brownie. It looks a little messy. Did something happen?
Someone stopped. Don't worry about it. Can you get the bleach?
Okay, yeah, sure.
You gotta get this blood out of the carpet. This is a rental.
And suddenly there's a blue three-dimensional figure standing in front of you. He has puffy pants, and he's tossing a grenade in his right hand.
God damn it.
Well, hey there.
The exploit that had turned the show into a drinking game. I had mentioned that the polishing department had fixed that, so that every time we said it depends on your system, we were able to interlace it with you could do it that way, and sure, why not? Turns out the polishing department was actually using it as a drinking game, so they didn't actually bother to fix that. How flammable is this room?
Extremely flammable. If you ignite it, you will all die.
I love how hard you are trying to circumvent all these puzzles.
Peppermint.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
That sounds disgusting.
Oh, wow.
It's a real thing.
That sounds really disgusting.
Well, you can buy it now. Only $6.
I love candy canes. That's a bit... Wow.
We'll do segment five, like once a month. The fifth segment is just Alex makes a drink.
it's got to be just catching up with the drunks. So it's like whoever's sober enough this week to submit a drink recipe, go.
Yeah, drinks and dragons. We'll just
yeah,
basically.
So long as you have more than four or more ingredients, it's okay.
That is not how I expected that working, but okay.
Well, welcome to the party. You gave me 20 rounds of potatoes and 20 gummy bears. Guess what I'm going to be doing? Spam attack.
Gummy potatoes.
We're going to have gummy bears riding a potato like it's Slim Pickens at the end of How I Learned to Love the Bomb. We're going to... So what am I rolling for this?
I love it. What does that mean? That sounds hilarious. Okay, make a roll.
That would be good. Deep fry it.
How am I going to draw with it then, Scott? If you've now, you see, you're missing the point again. That's it. I still have to be able to access its chalkness, but I've got my chalk. I'm dipping and eating chalk and drinking brand whiskey out of a bottle outside. And then suddenly, I'm overcome by the need to express myself. What do I do? Flip the chalk around and start writing.
Yeah,
see?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I, my mind went to...
This is being recorded, right?
Yeah, this is. Yeah, we're going to remember that.
This is gold.
This is gold.
This is the bit at the end, the extra bit.
This is the extra
bit. You get the extra bit.
Yeah, this is the part at the end where we get the chalk conversation.
And if you don't mind, going back to the discussion about the Kickstarters, I don't know if I told you guys this or not. I feel like I did, but... actually, I think the very first one you did was Vast, right?
Yeah, the first one we ever did was with David Somerville.
Yep. And that's the one I bought. And I heard about it from you all.
It's a very malevolent cave. It's trying to lay out all of the cave tiles, completely build out the cave, and then rapidly collapse all of those in, burying everyone else in a cave in for eternity.
Ooh, I want to play the cave. I know I already want to play the cave.
You just want to collapse on people because you like pebble knockdowns.
I do.
Pebble knockdown. It's the ultimate pebble knockdown.
Oh, I can't wait to play the cave. Alex, I'm going to be the cave. You be the knight. I'm going to crush the knight.
Sure.
This is really an episode I pushed on him. So if you don't like it, blame me.
We can throw a boulder on him later if
We can throw a boulder on him and it will be a critical hit, I'm sure. I know at least
It'll be a TPK. Do you know what that...
Total pebble knockdown?
total party kill.
Total party kill.
I like that. Total pebble knockdown. I'm going to use that from now on.
Yeah,